Bibles, if you would please, and open them up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We are in verse 13 today, just one verse. There's plenty here for us to feed our minds upon. We've been working through this letter verse by verse. We come today to another thanksgiving of Paul. And the title of the message this morning is Receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. And we are just going to draw out some truths about that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. So grab a Bible if you would please, follow along, make sure that what I'm telling you is true and coming out of the Word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul says this: For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now this verse is all about receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, and that's what we're going to get into in a minute. But before we do, let's do a little review. Pastor Jerry on Tuesday nights has a great habit that I do not have very well. He always reviews what he's taught so far. Let's take a moment and just review what we've seen so far. In essence, we could sum it up in kind of 2 points: thanksgiving and ministry. In chapter 1, we saw Paul's thanksgiving. If you turn back to chapter 1, verse 2, Paul started out by saying, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And the rest of chapter 1 really explains why it is that Paul was so thankful to God for this church. Part of it was their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope, chapter 1, verse 3. Part of it was they could tell that these people had been chosen by God. Well, how could they tell that they'd been chosen by God? Well, by the way that the gospel had come to them and by the way that they had responded to it. And for all those reasons, Paul in chapter 1 is saying, we thank God always for all of you. So chapter 1 is thanksgiving, giving of thanks. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, is ministry, in which, if you recall from the past few weeks, Paul says that in essence, brethren, you know that our ministry among you, it wasn't in vain, it wasn't empty. We were bold to speak to you the gospel of God, no matter what it cost us. We were constantly seeking to please God and not men. We dealt with you like loving parents. We kept striving to get you to walk worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So recall our ministry. And then in verse 13, he comes back to what? Thanksgiving. He comes right back to thanksgiving. Really, so far, all of it is connected to giving of thanks. And let's just stop for a moment and take note. So far, the Apostle Paul in this whole letter is a beautiful example for us of what it looks like to obey the will of God, namely the will of God that he writes at the end of the letter. Because when we get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and following, what does he say? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul is showing us an example of what that looks like. Despite all the hardships, despite all the setbacks, despite all the suffering that he faced in ministry, despite the fact that you can be sure he got tired in ministry, he was giving thanks to God constantly. That's a lesson for us. So to that end, that we might excel still more in being grateful and giving thanks, let's look now at 2:13 and think about what we're being taught here by the Spirit of God concerning receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. And you should leave today with at least a handful, that's five, at least a handful of truths about receiving the Word of God. And this is to the end that you would give thanks. All right, so first of all, I want you to see that receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, that is what we're shooting for in ministry. Receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, that's what we're striving for in ministry. Whether your ministry is in the home with your children and grandchildren, whether your ministry is in a small group setting, whether you minister to somebody one-on-one, What are we shooting for? What are we praying for? What are we striving for? We desire that those we're working with would eventually receive the Word of God as the Word of God. Notice how he begins verse 13. For this reason, stop there. For this reason, we give thanks to God without ceasing. For what reason? And you might think, as I always have, you might think, well, the reason is stated in the verse. For this reason, we thank God without ceasing. Here's the reason. Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of man, but as the Word of God. Is that the reason? Well, that's not the whole thing. This verse literally begins, and here's where a little bit of Greek comes in very handy. This verse literally begins, and on account of this. And the "and on account of this" points back to what he has just said. The idea is this. Let me try to give you a sort of a paraphrase so that you get the idea. The idea is this. Brethren, starting at chapter 2, verse 1, brethren, you yourselves know our labor among you, it wasn't empty. We kept on speaking the gospel of God to you, no matter what that cost us. We did that with pure motives to please God. And we labored and we toiled and we strove and we dealt with you like loving parents. And all of it was to get you to walk worthy of God. And on account of this, now, oh, we give thanks to God without ceasing. In other words, finally, we are seeing the fruit of our labors. What's the fruit? You accept the Word of God as the Word of God. What's the lesson? That is what we're striving for. And it's part of what it means to walk worthy of God. Notice the previous verse, verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. What does that take? Can somebody walk worthy of God if they reject this as the Word of God? Absolutely not. Anyone who rejects the Word of God and says that's just the word of men, they can't walk worthy of God. So this is what we're striving for. We get that from where he says, and on account of this. Because what he's saying is, finally, thank God, we see fruit from all our labors. Our sowing of the seed is now bearing fruit. Yes, he is thankful that they received the Word of God as the Word of God, but it's a fruit of all their labors. It's what they were striving for. And again, I say, whatever your ministry is, whether it's with your children, with your grandchildren, you're discipling a woman one-on-one, you're discipling a young guy one-on-one, that is what we're striving for. Or if you are being discipled, maybe you're a newer believer and you're being discipled one-on-one, or you're being discipled in here, in Sunday school, or in church, I'll tell you what we're striving for is that you would receive the Word of God as the Word of God and never stop receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. So that is what we are striving for. And second truth, receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, that is something to give thanks to God for without ceasing. When you see it happening, when you're discipling your children or evangelizing your children, when you're evangelizing your grandchildren or you're discipling them, or you're working one-on-one with a younger person in the faith, or you're leading a small group Bible study, or you're pastoring a church, when you can see that, hey, guess what? The people I'm working with, they are receiving the Word of God not as the Word of men. They're receiving this as the Word of God. There you have a reason to give thanks to God forevermore. Without ceasing. Why? Let's think about that. Let's think about why. Because why doesn't Paul say, for this reason, we give thanks to us without ceasing? Because this is what we were working so hard for. I mean, we're the ones working here. Why don't they give thanks to each other? High five, Timothy. Way to go. You finally made those people receive the Word of God as the Word of God. Way to go, Silas. High five, backflip, elbows. Let's do a dance. Because finally, you got them to see. No. No, actually, receiving the Word of God as the Word of God is a work of God. That does not happen naturally. You remember what the Bible says about the natural man? You can probably quote it with me. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man, he does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor is he able to understand them, inability, because they're spiritually discerned. Let me see if I got that pretty close, but it might not be exact. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural thing, when you are sharing the gospel with someone, the natural thing is to completely reject it. That comes by nature. By nature, we are God rejectors. By nature, we are gospel rejectors. So when you see that somebody is actually receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, you go, ha ha, thank you, God. Why? Because God did that. That is a miracle. That is called the miracle of opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, opening hard hearts to receive that what God says in the gospel is actually a message from heaven. Receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, that is what we're striving for, and that is something to thank God for without ceasing. Without ceasing. Are you working with somebody? Are you discipling somebody? Maybe you're working with your husband to share the gospel with him. Maybe you're working with your wife to share the gospel with her. Maybe you are working on discipling your wife or discipling your husband. Maybe you're raising kids. Maybe you're working with the grandkids. Maybe you're leading a small group. Maybe you're working with somebody one-on-one. Have you seen people that you work with receive what you're telling them out of this book as the Word of God? If so, thank God and never stop thanking God. Never stop thanking God. Why? Because, end of the verse, which also effectively works in you who believe. This work that God begins, He doesn't finish till the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you, right? He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And this word keeps doing its work in those who believe. You remember that parable that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4, it's one of my most favorite of all the parables. It's the parable of the growing seed, I think it's called. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed in the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed itself should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, automatically, literally. It works automatically. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. If you remember when I preached through the Gospel of Mark years ago, I entitled that one Automatically. And it's the good news that if you plant the seed of God's Word and God does the miracle that it takes root, you go to sleep at night and you get up by day and time goes on and you're like, ha, look what's happening. There's growth taking place in that person. Automatically. And that is something to give thanks to God for without ceasing. Receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, number one, that is what we are striving for in the ministry of making disciples, and that's what we're called to do. Number two, that is something to thank God for without ceasing. Number three, receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, that requires faithful speaking of it. Faithful teaching, faithful preaching, faithful counseling. Receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, that requires first, as a prerequisite, faithful speaking of it. Look again at verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God which you heard from us, stop there. Wait, which you heard from us? Yes. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, for the entire time they were in Thessalonica, probably from the very first day they arrived until the very last day when they left, which arguably is 3 to 6 months, they were speaking the Word of God, teaching it. Take a look back up at chapter 2, Verse 2. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. What did they do? They kept on speaking the gospel of God. Look at verse 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Take a look down at verse 8. Verse 8, chapter 2. So affectionately longing for you, and you recall that's longing for you to drink the milk of the word, the way a mother longs for her baby to drink her milk. Longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become dear to us. Verse 9, you remember, brethren, our labor and toil for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. We kept on preaching to you the gospel of God. And even in verse 11, when he says, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. What do you think they used to exhort, comfort, and charge? The Word of God. Right? Finally, Paul says, when we were there, we could see already you were taking the Word of God that you heard from us and you were welcoming it. But the prerequisite to that was faithful speaking, faithful preaching and teaching. Faithful, encouraging, exhorting, comforting, inspiring, imparting, sharing. Receiving the Word of God as the Word of God requires faithful preaching of it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For since in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom did not come to know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the Word of God, or the message preached, to save those who believe. Right? 1 Corinthians 1:21. The way that the God of heaven is saving sinners today is by means of the Word of God. But faith comes by hearing. So for someone to receive the Word of God as the Word of God, there's a prerequisite to that. Faithful speaking, faithful preaching and teaching of it. Now we got three truths so far, right? You got three? Number one, receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. That's what we're striving for. Application? Strive for that. Right? Pray for that. Pray and wait and hope and labor that those you're discipling would receive the Word of God. The second one, receiving the Word of God as the Word of God is something to thank God for without ceasing. Application? If you've ever seen it, if you're seeing it now, like I'm seeing it with you, because I see some of you looking up here, you're not out in la-la land, you're actually paying attention. I think you're probably receiving this as the Word of God. Woo-hoo! Thank you, God. Anytime you see that, whenever you see that, if you've ever seen that, give thanks to God without ceasing. That is a work of God. Why should they listen to you? Why should you listen to me? Because I'm preaching to you the Word of God. And if you are listening, and if you're saying, that's the Word of God, preach it. Well, then that's a miracle. God's opened your eyes. Right? Amen. So third truth, receiving the Word of God as the Word of God requires faithful speaking of it, so speak it. Speak the Word of God. Quote it. Teach it to your kids. Teach it to your grandkids. Teach it to your mom and dad, your brother and sister, your cousin, your nephew, your aunt, your uncle, your neighbor. Speak the Word of God. Say, hey, did you ever think about what God says here? Oh, what do you think about Donald Trump? Hey, do you ever see what the Word of God says here? I don't know, just take him somewhere else. Better get off that topic. That's going to get you in trouble. Say, you know what? You know what the Bible says? And just take him to something about, you know, do you know that we should pray? We should pray for our president, whoever he is. We should pray for our president. And just get him to the Word of God. Get away from the argument. Woo! Fourth, receiving the Word of God as the Word of God is the only right way to receive the Word of God. Anything else is sin. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, because that's possible, it's a big group, right? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you don't look at this book as the Bible, as the Word of God, you don't look at it that way. If you're here today, I want you to know, the only right way for you to respond to this book is to receive it as the Word of God, and anything else is sin. Look what it says, verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. What's he saying? He's saying the truth is, this really is the word of God. And by the way, when Paul says here the word of God, although that's fairly general, he does have in mind the gospel. He has in mind the whole context here is the gospel, right? So what he's saying is, look, when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from us, you received it not like it was some message from a bunch of men. You received it as it is truly the good news from God. So why do I say to you that that is the only right way? Well, number one, because the truth is, it is the Word of God. Even if a million people don't believe it, even if 10 billion people don't believe that the gospel of Christ is the Word of God, that doesn't make it untrue. It's still the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. But listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Boy, I like John. He cuts it straight. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he hasn't believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Now listen, the God of heaven, who created heaven and earth, who created you, he has given a testimony concerning his Son, and that testimony can be summed up as, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's one way to sum up the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. Here's another one. It is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Now, this whole thing, the whole Bible, is the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. So now what if somebody says, I don't believe that. Are you calling God a liar? John says, absolutely, that's what's happening. Anyone who doesn't receive God's testimony concerning his Son as the truth is guilty of the sin of calling God a liar. And listen, if that's you today, please do not leave here a liar. Do not leave this building, do not leave this room calling God a liar. If you think you can do that and get away with it, you are sorely mistaken. You cannot. The only right thing for you to do right now is to repent of your rejecting this as the Word of God and change your mind. Repentance is a change of mind. And you know what? Since you can't do that, you should say, God, help me change my mind. Dear God, change my mind. Change my heart. Do the miracle in me. Forgive me of my sin and grant me repentance unto faith in Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me. You should be begging God to change your heart and your mind so that you would receive the Word of God as it is in truth, the Word of God. Receiving the Word of God as the Word of God is the only right way to respond to it. That's number four, right? Finally, receiving the Word of God as the Word of God is something that bears fruit forever. Last line, 2:13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also is effectively working in you who are believing. Receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, that's something that, it's like Timex. How many remember? It takes a licking but keeps on ticking. Well, all right, everybody remembers, right? The Word of God just keeps on working. If you have turned to Christ in faith and you have at some point in your life started receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, guess what? It's working right now. It's working right now. What do you think is the work that the Word of God effects in believers? What is the work? I think I heard somebody say it. The work of sanctification. Jesus prayed, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the work that God does by his word is the gradual, step-by-step, day-by-day process of sanctification. Listen, if you're here today and you have received the Word of God as the Word of God, which it is in truth, it is doing its work in you even today, for which I say, praise God. Give thanks. And speak it to others that they too might receive the Word of God as the Word of God. And anytime you ever see them doing that, praise God, give thanks. That's a work of God. But if you're here today and you've never received the Word of God as the Word of God, you have been rejecting the gospel, then I say to you today, I beg you, in the name of Jesus Christ, turn from that sin and believe in Jesus Christ today, and you will be granted eternal life. And you will be given a heart to, from now on, receive this as the Word of God, and it will do God's work in you. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your Word. We thank you for its power. We thank you that it works. So few things in life work, but this works. And so, God, help us to be faithful, to speak your Word, to teach it and preach it, to counsel with it. And God, help us to be thankful to you always for the fact that we receive it and for the fact that we see others around us receiving it too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.